we got invited to a church that she used to go to, Church of Brethren, down next to the Nolichucky River. Talk, country people picking banjos and guitars. I mean, just really good stuff. Hadn't been to think food. Oh my goodness, at the food. Good 4th of July. Just old time country stuff. You know, it's good to get back to that. We don't sit on the porch and talk enough, do we? But anyway, we had a great time. 4th of July. Come and start us, Danny.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in church this morning. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are traveling and maybe visiting with some family and things like that. But
we're glad you're here. And we thank God for this 4th of July that we can celebrate our country's birth and for how good the Lord's been to us. And so I know there's a lot of things wrong with America, but it's still the greatest place on earth, still the greatest country. And I thank Him for it. So I hope you have a happy and wonderful 4th of July. Let's look at the bulletin right quick here, and we'll give Steve all the time we can. Crown College tour group tonight here, and I understand there's some singing and things that they will do, and if you're able to be here, I'm sure it'll be a wonderful time. And then later in the week, July the 6th, the Oasis Picnic at Bays Mountain, if you're part of the Oasis, from 10 to 4 on July 6th. They'll furnish the hot dogs and the drinks, and it'll be at shelter number 9 at the Eastman Park over there in Kingsport. So that would be something really enjoyable to go to, and it'd be kind of like Steve says about sitting on the porch and talking. I mean, we'll have a lot of people sitting over there talking, enjoying music and other things, I'm sure. And then on Saturday, July the 8th, we'll have a visitation outreach. And I'm sure that'll be probably around 9:30 on Saturday morning. And so we can look forward to that. Also on July the 9th, there's going to be a Get Acquainted luncheon after the morning service. And for all the newcomers to our church, they will be there in that luncheon, and a few of the staff and leadership will be there also. On the sick list this morning, let's pray for Pat Shaw. She's not doing well this morning. And so Joe said she had everything laid out and was going to come, but she couldn't make it. We also need to remember these others. Jerry Scalf is still in the hospital, and he's having some difficult problems there they're working with. And we're praying for him. Also, Randy and Pat Scalf is still going through the tough time, and we remember them in prayer. Judy Whitson, Bob Daniels, both of those are still managing this cancer that they're fighting, and so we're praying for them. And I talked with Harold here before we came in, and his sister, they found out she's got a infection, and they're going to give her some pretty high-powered antibiotics. So y'all remember Harold's sister And Teresa Payne's mom, we're still praying for her situation. And Miss Kim Brummett had her second eye surgery, and it was a little bit more tough than the one before, and she's having a lot of pain, and we need to pray for her that God will help her to heal from this surgery and be good. And then we're also remembering her neighbor who was having some issues. That's what I know this morning. Is there anyone else that may have a prayer request that you would like to mention, or maybe Miss Judy? Yes, ma'am. Just unspoken? Okay. Anyone else with unspoken? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we come to you this morning, Lord. We're thanking you, dear Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. And God, for these years of our country, our celebration of all the blessings you've given to us all down through time. And God, you still are blessing us even in spite of ourselves. And Father, I pray that you just bless the service this morning, be with Steve. Lord, give us, dear God, what you'd have us to have. And Lord, be with the pastor as he comes and brings the morning service to us, Lord, a little later. Thank you again for all you've done, what you will do. And we pray for all these sick, dear Lord. We pray that your hand would be upon them, and God, that you would touch them in their hour of need. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We're going to look at another name of God today. We're going to look at Jehovah Jireh. In Hebrews, they took God's name Jehovah and they would add names to the end of that and say it all at one time, depending on what they were trying to say or how they were saying it or what they were saying it about. And we've been looking at Jehovah in many, many ways, different ways. We know Jehovah is our strong tower, and there's it for him to be our strong tower. And today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Jireh being our provider. We have to look at situations in our lives where we have to have faith to be able to hold on to God and trust him in difficult times. There will come a day, and there is days sooner or later. We all have those days that it will be so dark and difficult that the burdens of the life will crush us. And without God's helping hand, we're just tempted to throw our hands up and quit and just stop living and being miserable. And we have to choose, and we have to make choices with God's help. It becomes a matter of faith and believing that God can. In Psalms 119 was my grandfather's favorite chapter in the Bible. I've got his Bible. So many things marked in it. And his favorite verses were 33 and 34. But I want to look at verse 71 there, where it says, in Psalms 119. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now that's hard to say and hard to understand that. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God's saying there that we have to be afflicted to learn his statutes. Well, I don't want to be afflicted no more than I'm already afflicted. We all are afflicted with something, with age and health and finances and loved ones sick and on and on and on. And we have those things to deal with, and it's difficult at times, difficult to deal with loss at times. And without God's help in our life, and we can look at James, the pastor's been studying James, but there's some verses there in chapter 2, starting at 21, talks about Abraham and a difficult time that he had. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Again, looking back to what it said there in 119, in Psalm 71 there, and at verse 71, he had problems. And the scriptures were fulfilled which said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Just because he believed God would fix it. Because he believed God would get him through it. He doesn't always fix it. He doesn't always provide what we think we need, but he gets us through it. And the faith that Abraham had wrought with his works. Now, what was those works? And the scriptures was fulfilled, and Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for his righteousness. At that dispensation, the way God worked with people, if they believed, and God knew they believed in their heart and dealt with them just like Moses, he dealt with Moses. You see how there in verse 24 it says, ye see then how that by works a man was justified and not by faith alone. So what happened was we know with Abraham and Isaac, the situation that happened, he had faith, but he had to act on his faith and trust God was doing the right thing. Now, we can't see tomorrow. We can't see the next minute. God sees all that. God, we can quote verses, and all of us here know them. He's our rock. He's our salvation. He's our strength. He's our refuge. The rock that is higher than I. Thou art the rock, my fortress. And we can take all those things in, have the head knowledge, until we get it really implanted in our heart with faith that God's going to use those things in our life. And let him be the fortress. Let him be the rock. And that's what Abraham had to do. He stepped out by faith that day that God said, you have to go sacrifice your son. Now, how would you like to have that on your plate? By faith, he believed God. He trusted God. And that was imputed to righteousness. He was a righteous man. But then God asked him to do something that was so difficult and dark for him that he couldn't imagine. what he was going to do. You know, the Bible doesn't say what he thought or what Sarah thought or how they acted or what did they do when he was getting ready to go and gathering up wood and said, we need to go up there and build an altar. Did Sarah know what was going on? Most likely. What was she doing? What was she thinking? What was in her heart? We live a life that we know not what's going to happen the next minute. And if we don't have this imputed righteousness in today's dispensation, we're saved by grace. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on us, with us, and in us. We have the power to reach out and grab that. But Abraham had faith, and from that faith we saw his works. Did he say, no, I'm not going to do that, God. I can't do that. But he had enough faith to know that God had already promised him that there would be generations as many as the stars from this young man. How much faith it took for that man to stand up and do that. And we see that this primary name of Jehovah being the strong tower, but then we start seeing this historical setting where this name Jireh was added to it in Genesis 22. We discover that this Hebrew addition to this name, Abraham's faith endured him through many trials through the years, but this trial on Mount Moriah was the summit of them all. What is the summit of all our problems that we have today? I mean, we've all got them. But what a life's test this is for this man. And there in Psalms 119, 71, and it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And we want to stand back and say, God, why are you afflicting me? Life is difficult. Any way you go at it, we can live at ease for a long time in life and everything be good. And then the next phone call, the next minute, we need to be ready. We need to be counted faithful, just like Abraham was counted faithful in this tremendous difficulty that he was going to go through. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know that God was going to provide a ram. But by faith, he stepped out. He said, I'm going to do what God says. Jehovah Jireh. One of the ways to look at that is the Jireh part of that is you can say it in two English words. You can say see and provide. Now, we sometimes can see the provision, as we call it. That means we've already seen it. But then God says, I will provide. You will see. See, this word Jireh, these languages had a lot of meaning to them more than our language does. They grouped meanings together. Jehovah Jireh is, look at my provision. Jehovah Jireh can also say, have faith that I'm going to provide and see what I'm going to do. Now, a lot of times we're at that point to where we have faith and know God's going to provide. And we don't see how he's going to do it. We just don't see how he's going to do it. How is he going to give me peace through this? How is he going to provide for my family through this? But we have to be like Abraham and have faith. Do you have that kind of faith today? Do I have that kind of faith? But just as that verse in Psalms 119:71 is so real, it is good that I have been afflicted. That I might learn thy statutes. That I might learn how God operates in my life, in others' lives. So we can look at this. We can look at this in so many different ways. The depth of the Christian experience and how it's revealed in our lives is talked about in Timothy and other places. Yea, and all will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, God's not promised us a rose garden. Another verse saying the same thing, that it is good for us to be afflicted. And another verse here says, in the New Testament, those of us who trusted Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. And we know the New Testament church did suffer persecution in different ways than we suffer persecution. But is the world kind to us? We can see the world and the direction it's going right now. Look, examine other people's choices. Now, I don't like to point the finger to anybody, but let's use Lot as an example. Come from a godly family, godly brothers, good bunch of people. Just like those people I was around last night. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. But in that crowd of 200 there, having dinner and listening to old time country music sung on the porch and watching fireworks, and you look across that crowd and some of those people have problems and they're faithful, God-fearing people just like this group. So let's just say, look at Lot. He comes from that crowd. But he didn't listen to God. He chose poorly. It wasn't a wise decision that he made that day to go live where he went to live. Excuse me. There's places in this world that we can choose to go. That'll put us in situations that we don't need to be in. But we choose it. Lot chose poorly. Just because of that one decision, I'm going down here and live in this city. He knew what was down there. And all of us right here can make those decisions today. Our families can make those decisions. Did he pray about that? Did he ask God about that? By faith, did he make that choice? You have to say no. because he made such a poor choice, he lost everything. He lost his wife at the end, lost his girls, sin. What a mess he ended up being by just making one choice that I'm going to go down there and live. Now, folks, we can make some, we get afflicted. And what was going on? There was a little bit of conflict. They were arguing about where they were going to pasture their sheep and cattle. And that's all there was to it. These men are not getting along. They wanted to put their cows over there and they want their sheep over there and on and on. That simple of a situation. To me, that would have been simple to solve. But no, Lot wanted to walk away with that, from that. And say, well, I'm just going to go down there. I mean, he had the choice. I'm going down there. Poor decision. So we can bring this affliction on. Now, did that affliction that he brought on himself, did he suffer persecution because of that choice? Yes, he did. So you can see that it is good for me to have this affliction, as it says there in Psalms, but then it says there in Timothy, shall suffer persecution because of a decision that we make, not by faith, not by asking God, not by praying about it. We have this persecution coming in our life. But God says, now wait a minute. I am your strong tower. I am your rock, and you know that. I am your provider. You see what this Jireh is, see, provision. I'm going to provide. I have provided. See, we forget to look back at what God's already done for us. That's why our pastor stands up here and thanks the Lord all the time for what we have and what he's done for us. We don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. So Lot made a bad choice, and because of that he was persecuted. And because of that, did he learn a lesson? So this is not a new... This Jehovah Jireh is not a new thing. It's not something it's not something for the Old Testament. It's always been there for us in the Bible and brought forward all the way into the New Testament. So we can't say, well, you know, some people say, well, that was Old Testament. You know, we don't operate that way today. No. I like the Old Testament a whole lot of lessons in the Old Testament that you can easily bring forward into the New Testament. Same meanings, little different wording, little different language, Hebrew, Latin, Greek, all ciphers back to Jehovah Jireh. See his provision. He will provide. He has provided. He's going to provide. Now, we can think that provision is something that we can put our hands on. He set this tissue box right here and provided me a tissue for my runny nose because I sat out in the hayfield last night. We can look at stuff, but I want peace in my heart. Can he provide that? Well, of course he can. How many of us need that today? How many of us need peace in our heart about something that's going on in the family or in people we know or children or whatever? We need some peace. Boy, in the world we have today, do we ever need peace? I mean, you can't sit down and talk to anybody about anything that it's not brought up. Well, what a mess we're in. I mean, it's just on everybody's hearts and minds. And if we live in that, I tell you what, I quit watching the news. I just quit it. It's just bad, bad, bad. Shooting, killing, world's ending. The oceans, the ice caps are melting, and the trees are dying, and you know, and on, and Canada's burning down, and it's global warming, and I mean, we can let all that just get to our heads. And we say, God, you just need to take care of that stuff. Please, Lord, take care of that stuff. And just help me live my life, help me to be faithful to what you want me to do, where you want me to be, what you want me to do. And Lord, along the way, it'd be good if you threw me a few crumbs this way. Be Jehovah Jireh for me today. Oh, I see that you've been that in the past. Oh, thank you for that. Oh, and I see how you did that, work that problem out. Oh, thank you for that. Jehovah Jireh had provided. And then Jehovah Jireh, let me show you what I'm going to do. I'm not done it yet, but be faithful and wait on the Lord. I've heard Pastor Lashley say that in so many meetings I had with him years ago. Joe's heard it too. Any of us that's been deacons has heard it. We just need to wait on the Lord. We're going to wait on the Lord and see what He does. We want to see His provision in this situation. We talked about this auditorium for years. For the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, we need to renew. We need to make it look fresh. We need to go forward. And we talked and we prayed and we prayed. And finally, God gave us clear understanding how to do it and what to do. And praise the Lord, we had the money to do it and didn't have to go in debt. See, God knew what we wanted to do. He knew where we wanted to go because He could see. And He said, I'll provide that. But we didn't know that back then. But we reached out by faith as deacons in many, many situations. By faith, we're going to pick up that missionary. By faith, we're going to spend that money and trust that you're going to replace it. And He did. So many ways, I mean, and that's just stuff. That's physical stuff. That's stuff you can pick up and put your hands on and see and touch. But the most important Jehovah Jireh to me is my heart condition. Do I have the faith to hand Him all these problems that the world has given me and say, God, I want to see what you're going to do with this, and leave it there? Now, that's another thing. We keep wanting to go back and pick these things up. You know, when Abraham marched up that hillside with his son and laid him down on that altar and raised that knife blade, God let him go right out on the edge, but didn't let him go fall off. he had the knife right back, and God spoke to him. He said, Abram, hold on. Hold on. I've provided a lamb. What a picture of the future. And whether Abraham understood all that there on Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount was built. It's right off of the edge of that is where Christ was sacrificed on the cross. All that happened right in that same area where Isaac had his son laying there ready to sacrifice him because of his faith in God as Jehovah Jireh. Abraham saw him perform in the past, bring the nation of Israel along into a new country, into a new nation, and he knew that in his heart, whatever comes out, God's working through some way that I don't understand here, as he held that knife in his hand. It's all about faith, people. Jehovah Jireh is there. The provision is in the past. He sees the future. He sees the provision that you need. You need peace in your heart. You may need physical things, something that you can put your hands on. But he can provide any of that. We just have to have the faith that these men had. And the meaning of this Jehovah Jireh will become so real to us. And are we going to have afflictions? The Bible says we are. And does God know that? He knows that. So he give the Hebrews the ability to put this Jireh after his name and say, see what I've done? See what I'm going to do? Look at what I provided? And here's probably what I'm going to provide. And they saw it happen over and over and over with the nation of Israel. And it'll happen again for the nation of Israel. We know that as we've studied Revelations. Jehovah Jireh today, folks, hold on to that. Hold on to that. And by faith, the faith that the Holy Spirit helps us have, we can hold on to the promises of God that he's going to take care of business for us. We just have to have enough faith to say, God, get me through this. Help me get through this. You've been so good to me in the past. Help me in the future. Provide what I need provided. And he will, because he did here, and he will. He'll keep on going. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, and thank you for this name, Jehovah Jireh. What a meaning it is to see the provision of the past, to see how you're going to provide for the future, what you're going to do with this world. It's written in the book. And we know it all comes out in the end because you're going to take care of business. And we thank you for those promises. Lord, those of us today that have loved ones and heartaches, sickness, people not saved in our families. Lord, provide that. Provide health, healing, salvation. Lord, we have many, many needs. Lord, we love you and thank you for that word. Thank you for your name, Jehovah Jireh. Lord, give us a good morning in church. Bless the pastor as he preaches today. The word will come from you that will touch someone's heart that they may be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.